This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Good afternoon. Welcome into Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Grace Remington with Will Hill. Busy day of sports ahead. We got everything going on. And I mean everything. Right now, the Champions League final going on between PSG and Inter Milan. PSG leading 2-0 after 20 minutes of action. We have nine baseball games about to throw first pitch at the top of this hour. We have an NBA Game 6 to preview. Plenty of action this week. But Will, before we get started, how's your Saturday going?
It's going. I always appreciate you asking. We were just talking a little bit before the show. Rick, our great producer, and I think he tweeted out earlier. It's such a good point. I don't know why Major League Baseball does this with the schedule. We're basically into the summer now, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. All right, let's watch some baseball. Nothing's on. We got 1 2 o'clock game, 1 3 o'clock game. Then they load up everything at four, so it's almost hard to keep up with everything. But not going to complain too much. Nice 4 o'clock window, a lot of games. So excited to get to it. And like you said, a game six here, Knicks Pacers, a lot of drama. Either the Pacers going to the finals or an even more dramatic game seven. So should be a lot of fun.
You're right. It works out for us on Saturdays, though, because we always have a lot to talk about during this show. Sunday, you do get the early baseball games, and then we're always like, bleh, what do we do? There's nothing left to bet on. But no, I totally feel you, because I would rather have some baseball game to watch and in the early afternoon as well. But before some of these games begin, let's make sure we get your bets out to the people at home. And we're going to start in Miami. The Giants, a favorite on the road, minus 148 on the money line. Miami plus 124 with a total of 7.5 here. What do you like in this game?
Yeah, it's interesting because these are the same pitching matchups, same pitchers from Sunday last time we worked together. Edward Cabrera, a guy I've always liked, the guy I've always felt like I like too much because he just doesn't back it up sometimes with the command, the control, but he is maybe starting to put it together. He's really eliminated the walks, had a two start stretch recently with no walks. The strikeout numbers, the swing and miss numbers are all good. Robbie Ray's been fantastic for the Giants. Giants don't have much of an offense. Marlins don't have much of an offense, so under 2.5 in the first three, minus $1.50, $1.55 in that range. I played that. And I did play under 4, minus 115. If you're willing to lay a little more juice, under 4.5, minus 150-ish. I don't mind that because a lot of times after 5, I can talk about it. It's 3-1, it's 2-2. That 4.5 is a key number. But to me, this has, you know, 2-1 after 5, that kind of game written all over it. I like both pitchers. I don't love either offense. So unders for me. We'll see if Cabrera can keep it up here.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I came into this one thinking under 8. Every time you give out your bet, though, I'm always like, oh, I got to join him on these first threes and first fives. But I'm with you. I like both of these pitchers here. I think their expected numbers are better than their actual results show. So we should see some positive regression for both Robbie Ray and Edward Cabrera. They're playing in a dome too, which obviously helps the pitching situation. So any type of under, whether it's the full game, the first five, the first three, let's go with that. The second game you're looking at here is Tigers at Royals, and we got Tarek Skubal back on the bump after throwing his complete game no-hitter last week, in which he was touching almost 103 miles an hour in the ninth inning. Just absurd. Michael Wacha on the other side. Detroit, no surprise, the heavy favorite here at minus 191 on the road. A total of 8. What do you like in this one?
It's hard to lay this type of price with Skubal as good as he's been. You do always worry, like Skubal's really good, but you do worry about, you know, not a letdown spot or a hangover, but a complete game. And he stayed under 100 pitches, but a complete game, 13 strikeouts, 2 hits, no walks, duplicating that. It feels like you're just buying high on Skubal. That being said, under 5.5 hits allowed by Skubal, I like. And if you're interested in these quick hits, these instant gratification bets, I did a few of these Sunday, and it got a nice little roll until eventually it lost, obviously. Under 0.5 hits for the Royals in the first inning. You can play these inning by inning and just, hey, you get a 1-2-3 inning, or you get an inning with one walk and no hits or whatever. You cash your bet. So under 0.5 hits for the Royals in the first inning is even money. Let's hope Skubal can keep it running. It's, you know, you got to come up with unique ways sometimes to bet these really good pitchers or really good teams. It's like fading the Rockies every day or backing Skubal. You know, laying minus 200, it gets expensive. wouldn't mind under 2.5 in the first three with, you know, Waka versus Skubal either. But I'm going to play the under hits here. I'm going to bet the Royals to not get a hit in the first inning.
Wow. Okay. That's an interesting angle. So what was the lot? This is just the Royals in the first inning.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So what about this? Because I like the angle. I like your thought process where it's, you know, Skubal's not going to come out and throw back-to-back complete games. Like, maybe we can find a way to fade him in some form, or not a direct fade, but I still ended up looking at his over outs line because the Tigers had to use 5 bullpen arms yesterday. So it feels like they would let Skubal go at least 6 innings. His outs line is 18.5, but +140 to the over. How do you feel about that one?
Bad.
I mean, just because of the price, that's pretty attractive there.
Yeah. Yeah, and obviously that's a key number because it could be 6 innings and he's done, you lose. But all he's got to do is get one out in the seventh. You're getting a +140. I certainly like the over more than the under.
Mm-hmm. In the month of May, the Royals rank 24th in weighted on base average and weighted runs created plus against left-handed pitching. They're about average strikeout rate. So who knows? It might be easy for him to get through them. So that could be worth a look. What was the other? You were also looking at the Rockies and the Mets. This is about as opposite as it gets. The Mets -360 favorite on the money line at home. The Rockies +290. What do you want to do here?
Give me the Rockies to win the World Series. I think this just in a bad stretch right now. They're going to snap out of it and they're going to go on a run. No, I bet Mets.
Which World
first
Series?
Some juice here.
In like 2030.
Yeah, good point. Good point. I don't even know about that.
Yeah.
Mets to score the first runs -160. If you want to lay juice, I know it's expensive for some people, but Senga against this lineup, I think, is a good matchup. I also played over 7.5 strikeouts for Senga. Rockies just strike out a lot. I know the Senga command can come and go, and that can get the pitch count up, and that can hurt you. But to me, 8+ Ks is a good bet for him to get against the Colorado team that really swings and misses a lot. I think he should have that ghost fork working. A lot of righties in that lineup. So to me, good matchup for Senga. So, boy, it's like I said with Skubal, it's hard to find ways to fade the Rockies unless you're going to just, I'm going to lay -400. Even laying a run and a half, you're laying a lot of juice here. So, very expensive to lay the rock to play against the Rockies here. You got to come up with some unique ways to do it. So those were a couple of ways I attacked it.
Yeah, I think the run line is -170, which is crazy. But I was actually thinking the over 8.5 here. Obviously, Antonio Senzatella, there's just nothing good there. and you would look at these career Colorado pitchers and expect their numbers to be better on the road. And that's not even the case for him. Some of his road numbers are worse. So he's just not good. Kodai Senga, we've been talking about this for a couple weeks now. I think he's due some negative regression. He has the 1.46 ERA, of course, but it's a 3.47 expected and a 4.25 expected FIP. And those expected numbers keep getting higher week after week. So eventually it's going to have to even out. We have great hitting weather today. 67 degrees, 18 miles an hour winds out to right center field. So that's why I like the over. I also think it could be a great spot. I never do hitter props, but Juan Soto to hit a home run at +550. That wind going out to right center field is great for lefty power, and he's got a terrible pitcher on the other side. So, but 550 just feels like a lot for Juan Soto. So that one was kind of intriguing for me. So we got your three official bets in. Was there anything else that was kind of interesting to you?
I will add a couple more here. There's these up at DraftKings, they have the June markets, over under for number of wins in June. Who's going to have the most wins in June? I played this last month with May. Rockies were 9.5. They won 4. The Rockies are at 9.5 again. Unders minus 120. So under 9.5 Rockies wins for the month of June. You can still bet it because June starts tomorrow. I think once the games start tomorrow, they pull this market. Most wins they leave up for a little bit. We could talk about most wins maybe later in the show if we want to tease that. Mm-hmm. But under 9.5 wins for the Rockies, I think that's self-explanatory. They've played 2 months and they have 9 wins. So you know what? If they win 10 games and they beat me, so be it. But under 9.5 is a play for me.
There's absolutely no way they are winning 10 games. This is fun. I like this. I'm pulling it up now. I'll have to join you on that one. Yeah, we're going to talk about the June win markets later on in the show, which team wins. I'm really excited to get into that because I think there's a lot of options. Some of them seem to be mispriced a great deal. We also have some great guests coming up later on the show. Kelly Bidlin, host of the Long Shots podcast, joining us with his golf bets for the Memorial Tournament and kind of going over what we've seen so far through 1.5-ish rounds. Also talking some NBA as well. We also have Dan Karpuk, new to VSiN. He's been dishing out winning NBA props throughout this playoff season, and it's been really fun to tail him. So excited to have him coming up in the final hour of the show. But we're just getting started here on Live Bet Saturday. Plenty of baseball. The Memorial Tournament's going on. Ben Griffin right now still holding on to a 2-stroke lead at 7-under for the tournament. He is through 4 holes with Nick Taylor behind him at 5-under. Scottie Scheffler, though, came into the day as a plus 175 favorite to win. He, of course, entered the tournament as a plus 290 favorite to win. The next on the board was 22-1. It is just silly what Scottie Scheffler is doing. But look at Spieth there. Tied for 4th, too. 4 back of the lead. So we'll be tracking all of it with you throughout the show. He's Will Hill. I'm Grace Farmington. Thanks for being here with us. We'll be right back on VSiN. This is the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back into Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Grace Farmington with Will Hill, covering all the action across the sports world with you today and for the next 3 hours. Here's a few score updates for you. The Reds and Cubs started earlier today. They are tied. No score in the bottom of the 8th. Reds threw Nick Lodolo. He went 6 innings, allowing no runs, obviously. 5 hits, 5 strikeouts. The Cubs went with the opener, Drew Pomeranz, and then ended up throwing Ben Brown for 6 innings. He allowed just 1 hit with 9 strikeouts. So it's been a fun little pitcher's duel over there. Looking at the live odds on that game, the Cubs are minus 230 to win. Bottom of the 8th now with a man on first, no out. Cincinnati is plus 250. The live total for this game is 1.5. So is there anything we can do with this game? Well, the run line -1.5. If you were to take the Cubs on the run line, it's plus 290. If you were to take the Cincinnati to cover +1.5, it's minus 270. Not sure if there's anything actionable at this point, but it's kind of interesting. Left on base, I guess I should plus add this. Cubs 5 left on base, 0-for-9 with risk.
Yeah. Plus 185 here for the Reds is not terrible considering pretty much a toss-up game. I know the Reds or the Cubs have the extra bat now. Now they have 2 on. The money line goes to plus 230. So I would only look towards the Cubs. And oh my goodness, the Rockies have hit a home run. It is 1-0 Rockies. So Mets to score first, an early loser. That's a tough one.
That's all right. We'll bounce back. That is Kodai Senga. Hey, we were talking about regression though for Kodai Senga. So
good point.
There it is. All right, what else do we got? So the Blue Jays taking a 6-5 lead on the A's. They just finished the 3rd inning there. White Sox Orioles just began. The Orioles leading 1-0 in the bottom of the 1st. Brewers, wow, piling it on early against the Phillies. 4-0 in the bottom of the 1st. Milwaukee now a minus 400 favorite to win that game with a live total of 12. Cards and Rangers just threw first pitch. Zero all in the bottom of the first. Angels Guardians waiting for a score there. Red Sox Braves also waiting for a score there. Giants Marlins. What was it? Remind me, what was your play again on that one? Giants Marlins.
Under 2.5 in the first three and under 4 in the first five.
Yep, we liked all the unders in that one. Okay, so far so good. Although they have men on the corners right now.
Yeah.
One out in the top of first. All right, so not so far so good.
Two strikes here for Cabrera. Could use a strikeout or a double play to get out of it. Would be nice.
Yeah. Rays Stros. Houston taking a 1-0 lead in the bottom of the first. Man, that, I guess, okay, so Brewers-Phillies, we didn't get to it at the top of the show. I don't think I ended up betting this one, but I was thinking about a Phillies first five team total over 2.5 or a first seven team total. I think it was the first seven would have been 3.5. I just wanted a way to fade Chad Patrick. So I guess those bets are still live. I just didn't expect the Brewers to come out swinging against Jesus Luzardo because he's looked so good and has had a historical start to the season. We're talking historical, like his numbers have lined up with some of the all-time greats, but giving up four earned runs on three hits in that first inning, not looking too great for him. Although before last week's start, he had a 1.95 ERA, a 3.10 expected. So I guess this, the regression was headed his way. And once you get to this point of the season, 10-11 starts, you start seeing it. What else? Did we get to anything, Will, that you weren't able to give out in that first block of the show? Did we miss anything?
Well, let's see what we got here. Trying to sweat home a scoreless first inning with this Marlins-Giants game. This is a weird play where it's either a 2-2 count or a 3-2 count. I think some people thought it was a full count. Ball four, and the runner heads the second on a steal. They tag him out, but he's saying, hey, that's ball four, so you can't tag me out. And they're reviewing, I guess, what the count was. Very strange sequence here. Plus, I think he looked safe to begin with, so we'll see how that gets sorted out. Tigers-Royals about to start. Mets-Rockies, like I mentioned, Rockies already have 1-0. Rays and Astros, I didn't have much. Cleveland Angels, I didn't have much. I thought fading Kendricks is a good way to go, but Cleveland just cannot hit. Neither of these teams can really hit. And you look at it like, oh, maybe I'll play an under, but Ciccone versus Hendricks, not two great pitchers, you know, to say the least, and the total 7.5. So that's really baked in. I didn't really love anything there. You know, Braves, Red Sox. Did you have anything Braves, Red Sox, Cardinals, Rangers, any of these games?
Let me look here. Cardinals, Rangers. I definitely do. Hold on. I'm scrolling. I wanted to find a way. Patrick Corbin has been interesting. Let me just start there. He's having a resurgence, if you can call it that. I guess anything positive compared to his last five seasons could be considered a resurgence. So I think if you were to back him, I feel like we may have missed our spot to do so. So I was thinking today is maybe a sell high spot on him. I liked his under 4.5 strikeouts. It was juiced minus 135 to the under, but you look at his high strikeout games, they've come against bad teams and the Cards are just middle of the pack in strikeouts against lefties. So I don't know. I guess looking now, let's see. So live odds here, we have the Cards minus 118, Rangers minus 108. The thing is, I didn't really feel great about Sonny Gray either. So I didn't really want to back any of these pitchers. The only way I could find to sell high on Corbin was to take the under on his K prop. But were there any angles you were thinking about on him?
I liked St. Louis, but I didn't want to lay the price. Now that it's minus 118, I'm guessing St. Louis just had a scoreless top of the first. Now we're going to the bottom first. St. Louis does hit lefties pretty well. Corbin seems primed for some regression. Gray is solid. If not spectacular, he is pretty solid. So it'd be Cardinals or nothing for me, but nothing I bet. I mean, with 9 4 o'clock games that, you know, you handicap these games and you want to find bets and angles for all of them, but you also don't want to sit here with, you know, 27 bets in one window. So it'd be Cardinals or nothing for me, but nothing I bet.
Actually, that's a good point. Coming into this, I think the Cards were around minus 140, so it could be worth it taking them on a better price now. Sonny Gray, like you look at his expected numbers, so his ERA is the highest since 2021. His expected ERA is the highest since 2018. It's a 4.15 expected. But he's still obviously a high strikeout guy, low walk rate guy, coming off back-to-back quality start. So starting to hit his stride, even though the expected numbers are not where they have been for his career. But I do think he's the better – he's the pitcher I trust more in this matchup. So, yeah, and the first inning just ended, and the Cards back up to minus 135. So just something to track here. But, yeah, Corbin so far, no strikeouts through that first inning. What else do we got here? So, oh, look, the Cubs do strike first. Now they got bases loaded with one out in the bottom of the eighth, leading 1-0.
Did they score?
Obviously they are.
Wow.
Yeah, they did. Let me click on this box score and see who scored for them. It was Suzuki with a double to right. Hap scores. So Graham Ashcraft has loaded the bases. He started the inning with a walk, grounded into a fielder's choice, gave up a single, gave up a double, another walk, got a pop out. Now he's pitching to Dansby Swanson with the bases loaded. So this could all blow up. interesting seeing Ashcraft out of the bullpen, but, okay. So glad we didn't place the live one on the Reds there, but I did think that was the right idea. The A's still trailing the Blue Jays here, 5-6 in the bottom of the fourth. O's leading the White Sox 1-0. Brewers up 4-0 on the Phillies in the bottom of the first, although Philly has men on first and second, so they're threatening to make this one closer. Angels Guardians, no score there. Braves score first against the Red Sox. They lead 1-0 after the first inning. Rockies still up 1-0 on the Mets in the bottom of the first. New York, though, with a man on first. And oof, this our Giants Marlins unders looking kind of dicey here. Top of the first, Giants have loaded the bases. Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. I was seeing two outs, two strikes.
I just peeked at the app. The app's always a little bit ahead, a pitch or two ahead, which can be a dangerous game to start peeking at it because you want to look, but you don't want to look. But Cabrera loaded the bases one out, but got two strikeouts, one on a nasty. I mean, that looked like a wiffle ball to get this guy on a called strike three. Batter's not happy, but it had the zone. So we head to the bottom of the first, scoreless. These unders are always an adventure, never fun, but hopefully we can will this one home.
That's why unders are the best. They're always a sweat. All right. If you haven't heard, VSiN is running a 14-month promo, and now is your last chance to get it. You can lock in 14 months for just $199 and get two extra months for free when you use the promo code PRO, that's P-R-O, at checkout. You get a bunch of good stuff that'll help you in your handicapping for just 50 cents a day. The offer expires today, so don't miss out. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe and use the promo code PRO.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back into Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Grace Remington with Will Hill, hanging out with you for all of today's sports action. A quick score update here on the Champions League final between PSG and Inter Milan. PSG leading 3-0 about 70 minutes in. They were the plus 115 favorite heading into the biggest match of the year. Inter Milan was plus 235. If you played the over, great job. The over 2.5 goals cashes at even odds. The under had been the juice side at minus 125. Something interesting heading into this match was the last six Champions League finals have ended with fewer than three goals. And considering the strong goalkeeping coming into this one, didn't expect this to have such a high score so early. So congrats to all overs bettors there. But if PSG holds on, it'll be their first Champions League title in club history. Taking a look back at the diamond now. So the Reds do get out of that bases-loaded jam, not without some damage. The Cubs take a 2-0 lead. Ashcraft was pulled after loading the bases. Richardson ends the inning, but the Cubs now up 2-0 on the Reds in the as they head into the ninth. Blue Jays still holding steady, 6-5 against the A's in the top of the fifth. O's leading the White Sox 1-0 in the bottom of the second. No man on with one out. Phillies had a chance to score there in the first. They don't do so. They trail 4-0 to the Brewers. Still no score in the Cards Rangers in the top of the second. No score in the Angels Guardians. This Rockies Mets one has been interesting. Kodai Senga gave up a homer to the Rockies in the first inning and then finished it with three strikeouts. Right now, the Mets in the bottom of the first have the bases loaded. Nope, they just score. They just score three. So Mets just taking a 3-1 lead. They still have a man on third with one out. Will, you liked Kodai Senga's over 7.5 strikeouts in that one.
I did. So far, so good. Rockies strike out a ton. Would have been nice to get the Mets to score first. All we needed was a clean top of the first. And as you can see, Santazella, not what I would call a major league pitcher. I'm shocked they keep running him out there. I mean, you got to have somebody better in the minors somewhere, I would think. I don't get why they do that, but the Rockies are going to Rocky. So 3-1 Mets, I'm sure the Rockies are on their way to another loss. You know, I actually thought about laying the minus 350, minus 400, whatever it was. I don't think they're beating the Mets, but I said, you know, didn't end up betting it. But Skubal under a half hit allowed in the first inning. Royals no hits, however you want to phrase it. That one gets home as Skubal gets a 1-2-3 first. And after some adventures here in Miami, San Francisco had the bases loaded. Miami had a leadoff single. We do go to the second scoreless here. Giants and Marlins.
Okay. Because you said Senzatella, not sure how he has a job in the major leagues, yep. I had to look up his salary because I was thinking the same thing. According to SpotTrack, he's making $12 million this year to throw a 650 ERA.
Man.
And he's only had... I know he's only had one season below a 4.0 ERA since 2017. What a life. Okay, so we've gone through all the scores. We have not talked about any hoops yet. So let's get to NBA Game 6 because we have Knicks Pacers tipping off at 8 Eastern today. This line movement has been interesting because open Pacers -4, we saw it going down to that 3.5. Now we're seeing some more money come in on the Pacers. They're a 4.5-point favorite here. This total, 2, has kind of been all over the place. I mean, it opened 220, dipped to 217.5 at one point. Now it's up to 221.5. But any way you're leaning here, Will?
I like the Knicks. I think that their defense in game number 5 was really impressive. I think that can carry over to some extent on the road here. If they can slow down Indiana, they're going to have a great chance because the Knicks only shot 27% from 3 in game 5 and still won the game and won it comfortably. Nesmith, who is such a key player for Indiana, does not look the same. He sprained his ankle at the beginning of game 3, I think it was. And he's been up and down since. He didn't shoot the ball well. He didn't defend well in game 5. So I'm hoping for a game 7. I'm rooting for a game 7, and I do think getting the 4 is the way to go. I just think these teams, there's such a thin margin between them. Home and road hasn't really mattered. We've seen the road team, you know, win the first 3 games. I know the home team has helped serve the last 2, but I think this is destined for 7. It's felt like a 7-game series the whole time. I know that Pacer crowd is going to be raring to go here, but I have a hard time laying 4 here with Indiana. I would say if you like Indiana, just lay the extra juice and take the money line because, again, these games, not that they've landed lower than 4, but I just feel like it's hard when these teams are so equal to expect to win by 5-plus points. That's different than actually winning the game. So I would look at the money line if I liked anything here with the Pacers. But Knicks +4 is a play for me. And one player prop, Nembhard, points, rebounds, assists is at 17.5. 8 and 9 respectively in the last 2 games. His usage, his playing time has gone down, down, down. I'd expect more of the same here in a must-win sort of situation in game 6. Not completely must-win, but hey, there's a lot of pressure on the Pacers to win this game and avoid a road game 7. So Nembhard unders, I think, are a good play as well.
So to your point, if you like the Pacers just laying the juice on the money line, it is mispriced because if you use a money line to spread converter, a spread of 4.5 should come out to -193 on the money line. Right now they are -175. So you actually are getting a deal if you want to play them that way. Just something to always check. And I'm kind of surprised, you know, we have one game. It's one of the last games of the season, and you're still getting mispricings like that. Who do you think is under more pressure in this game? Because you have the Knicks facing elimination, but then the Pacers, who definitely don't want to go back to MSG after leading this series 3-1.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you got to say the Knicks just because they are facing elimination. But I think once you get down 3-1, the pressure comes off a little bit because everyone counts you down and rules you out. And you can kind of relax a little bit and just say, hey, nobody expects us to win. We're down 3-1 and we can just go and play. So definitely pressure on both teams is, I think, a fair way to put it.
Right. One of the biggest adjustments we saw in that last game was how the Knicks were playing Tyrese Haliburton defensively, picking him up at half court, which obviously makes it more difficult to pass to someone in scoring position. So he had been averaging, 10 assists per game at home up until this point. His assist line right now is 10.5. Juice to the under, -135. So that's something that caught my attention because you wonder if the Knicks will play him the same way. Obviously, the price on that under makes sense, but you would think the Pacers would adjust. What type of game do you expect from Haliburton in this one?
I expect him to bounce back, be more aggressive. That was a strange performance to only get off 7 shot attempts. You know what? If you have a bad shooting night, it happens to everyone, but only 7 shot attempts for a guy that's been as good, as active, as prominent in these playoffs as he's been, and very strange to see. So I'd expect him to play better, obviously. We expect him to bounce back. I don't know that I'm dying to go over. I think it's 20.5 for the point prop. Didn't play it, but would guess bet over before I would bet under. So should be a lot of fun. Now, the winner of this series, I compared it last night to, I'm sure you've seen the movie Titanic where they're playing cards and the winner of the card game gets a trip on the Titanic. This is what this series feels like because it's not going to be pretty, whoever makes the finals. But you know what? You get to go to the finals and you get to take your chance at the Thunder. But excited. A lot of drama in this game. I'm hoping for a game 7. I think the +4 is the way to go, but it's a good sports night. Knicks and Pacers, Yankees, Dodgers, which we'll get to, I'm sure, here both at the same time. So a nice little Saturday night here. You got some games on.
Yeah, this is a good one. I was thinking playing the Pacers on the first half -1.5, because if you're going to bounce back from the previous game, you're not going to wait till the second half to do it. You're going to come out the gates right away. And you talked about, you know, they didn't have their typical offense last game, shot poorly from three. They turned the ball over a lot too. 20 turnovers in that game after averaging a little over 13 in the season. So I feel like all those things should kind of normalize. They come out firing the first half, cover that -1.5, which, by the way, after all three of their playoff losses, they have come back and covered in the first half. So I think that'll be my play on this game. But like you said, plenty of things to bet on. We got you covered over at VSiN.com. We also got the ponies racing. The final jewel of the Triple Crown is here, the Belmont Stakes, and there's no better time to bet the races than now at First Bet. New users can get a $200 sign-up bonus just to use the promo code VSiN200. Whether you're a seasoned horse player or brand new to the sport, First Bet has all the tools to elevate your game. Download the app or go to firstbet.com/VSiN to sign up today. That's firstbet.com/VSiN and use the promo code VSiN200 for your $200 bonus. All right, coming up, it is our first guest of the evening, Kelly Bidlin, joining us with his NBA best bets and some thoughts on the Memorial Tournament. You're watching Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back into Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Grace Remington with Will Hill, and now very excited to welcome the first guest of the program here, Kelly Bidlin, VSiN producer and host of A Numbers Game and the Long Shots podcast, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line now. Kelly, before we get into your bets today, just overview of the Memorial Tournament so far. What have you learned through about a round and a half at this point? How are your pre-tourney bets going?
They're doing okay. Grace, Will, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure to join you guys. It's let's see, we've got some that are still in the mix, but man, this is, we're watching one of the toughest courses on the PGA Tour look exactly like that, and the wind kicking up today. I think this golf is just going to get tougher and tougher for these guys in the afternoon as we close out this third round.
If somebody didn't have a bet right now, anything you'd recommend jumping in on?
You know what, Will? I actually just added a live outright about 20 minutes ago. I think it's probably still a good price. Ben Griffin is 8 under par right now. I added Sepp Straka at 28-1. He is in the clubhouse. As I've been watching here this afternoon, this course is just getting tougher and tougher with the wind picking up. So I think these guys, what we've seen here the past hour or so, is just going to continue, and these guys are going to fall further and further back to the pack at the top. So, and look, Ben Griffin, Nick Taylor, two guys I'm willing to battle against at the top of the leaderboard right now. So, yeah, Sepp Straka, 28-1. He was a guy I was high on before the tournament. I didn't end up betting him in any markets before the tournament. So, going to add a live outright on him. I've got Shane Lowry, Xander Schauffele in the account as well. I guess they're kind of in the mix right now.
Yeah, love the play on Sepp Straka right now, gaining strokes across the board. So momentum on his side. Now, the question for the last couple seasons, obviously, is just what do we do with Scottie Scheffler? He came into this a plus 290 favorite. And I know some people, you know, kind of take the approach, well, he can win any tournament, so it's not considered going chalk if you play him at these short numbers. But I think it is, because like his odds to win are never that short, the true odds at least. So what approach do you take to not fading it, maybe fading or backing him, I guess?
Yeah, it's well, look, he's a very tough guy to ever get me to fade. That's for sure. But I understand what you're talking about, Grace. Pre-tournament odds, it's very tough for me to bet him in the outright market. You hope. I think, unfortunately, I think we're even past the days of a lot of us would approach it of, hey, let's let the tournament start. Maybe someone races out to a lead. Maybe you can get 50, 60 cents better than what that pre-tournament price was on him. Then you could get him. Then you could justify that a little bit more, like with like you're talking about with the true odds. But I'll tell you, for right now, this is, you're seeing over 2-1 on him right now. If he was someone you were considering heavily before this tournament, to see where he stacks at on the leaderboard at T3s, four shots off the lead, but there is only one other guy in between him and Ben Griffin. I think it's a better bet now at plus 210 than you were getting pre-tournament on him. So if it was one you were considering right, you know, before the tournament, didn't end up pulling the trigger, I don't have a problem at all. I think there's a way more uncomfortable tickets, at least, to ride through the weekend than a Scottie Scheffler outright ticket.
Kelly, let's switch gears here to basketball. We have a game 6. Will we have a game 7? I guess I'll ask it this way. I think it's hard to analyze this game without trying to wrap your head around how healthy Neesmith is, because he's such a valuable player, 3-and-D guy, 1-of-8 in game 5. The defense was not good for the first time really this series. Take it whatever direction you want to go here. Pacers laying 4. Do you think we get a game here Monday night?
Yeah, it's a great point, Will. I think that probably is the biggest thing going into this game tonight. I like Indiana to bounce back here. I think they close things out. I have series bets on the Pacers, but I'm not going to mess around with the full game. These two teams have proven that they are extremely, extremely close and tight to each other. Knicks, actually, I think they lead, right? They're a plus 6 in the point differential through the 5 games that we've had so far. In last game, like you said, no Neesmith, not on Brunson nearly as much, mattered big time. The other thing that we saw a lot of last game was the Knicks kind of go away a little bit from the pick and roll and go a little bit more ISO with Brunson and Cat. And I thought that was interesting, just challenging who was on the court to actually go guard those guys one-on-one and then roll over help defense. So I like the Pacers here. I think I like them to win the game. I'm not going to mess around with the full game, though. I played the Pacers money line for the first half. I think they do come back, bounce back a little bit early, ride that momentum wave in game 6 of having to play well in front of their home crowd. And look, Tyrese Haliburton, I think this story is becoming a little overblown, but this is a guy who has played much better at home throughout the course of the season. So I would expect, I don't really mess around with first quarter props or anything, but I would expect an active Tyrese Haliburton early on as well.
I like your first half angle. That's the one I had talked about just before you hopped on here. The Pacers have covered in the first half after all three of their playoff losses. So my point was, if you're going to bounce back, you're going to do it sooner rather than later in the game. So like that angle from you. And I was also going to ask you about Tyrese Halliburton, because an uncharacteristic game from him in the last one. Have you been backing any of his props? Is there anything you would take on him in this game?
No, if anything, Grace, I would caution people. I think that we've gotten into the playoffs and this narrative has built around Tyrese Halliburton of this superstar player that's on the rise. And while all that is true, I think when you compare him to the likes of a Jalen Brunson or to other star guards in this league, he really is a pass first old school point guard that I think that gets lost on a lot of people when we're used to seeing these guards take over and win games. So I thought as concerning of a stat last game was how few assists that he ended up having in that game. Really couldn't get the offense going as a whole. And as far as his points, though, I think it's always tough because he is a guy that can get red hot from deep. We've seen him in these playoffs take over at the end of games, and he'd be basically the sole guy for the Pacers to get it done. But it's also very common for Halliburton to have lighter scoring games where he lets everybody else on the team get it done. So I think if you're attacking it from a point perspective, I honestly, it would be under or nothing for me on Halliburton props. That's really where I would be looking at for as long as this Pacers team is left in the playoffs.
What number, and you could take it from the Knicks or Pacers perspective, what number would you actually need to take out your wallet and bet the Eastern winner to beat the Thunder? 10-1, 15-1, 20-1? What number would actually say, you know what, I have to take a chance on this bet?
Man, that is a great question, Will Hill. You always come up with the good ones. So give me, man, I know it sounds ridiculous, but yeah, I think I would need 15-1, something like that, which is absurd in today's NBA. It's a 7-game series. That's ridiculous. I really don't think I'd take anything less than that. Even if you want to book this off to the side, just me and you, I don't think I'm taking anything less than that, okay?
That's a good answer.
Carl Anthony Towns, his points prop set at 22.5. Were you looking at anything for him?
Yeah, that is one player prop I did bet. I bet over on Cat. I've been betting this basically every game. Look, the knee injury a couple games ago was a little concerning. I don't even know if we're calling it an injury, but he banged knees about 4 times in that game and could barely walk at the end of the game. I'm going over 22.5. I think going back to that last game, he's covered this number in 4 or 5 in this series. Seeing him play a little bit more isolation ball, I think will help things out. They just really... honestly, as good of a series as he's had, I expected him to have a bigger series. There's really not a true counterpart on the Indiana side to be able to slow him down defensively. We've seen Miles Turner kind of get worked by him and pushed out of the rotation at times. That was fully expected by me. I honestly thought Cat was going to have a bigger presence in the scoring, in the box score for this Knicks team. So I do like over 22.5. They keep hanging that low number, 22.5, 23.5. And I think it's going to be an overplay for me every time with these two teams going at it. It's just, he has such an advantage down low. The knee does concern me a little bit, but not nearly to the level of what we were talking about with Neesmith.
Last 90 seconds or so, give me your... I was just going to jump in one more. Your craziest off-season prediction, Kelly, that could realistically happen is what?
Oh, boy. Let's go Giannis Antetokounmpo to the San Antonio Spurs. And we get to see Wemby and Giannis together for the next 4 or 5 years playing at peak level. I cannot wait to watch that. That would be awesome.
Ooh, that's fun. That's way better than what I was going to ask. So thanks, Will. But we do have some time. Can you give us a U.S. Open bet before it starts in 2 weeks?
U.S. Open bet. Yeah, either Scheffler, Rory, or Bryson DeChambeau. Pick one. Because I don't like, Grace, I know it's tough. I know you're a big golf fan too, but it's just been tough. These majors have kind of proven everything we've talked about since before the Masters. It's just that those top three guys and then the mid-range golfers right now are really struggling to put together consistent wins and consistent efforts out there. So I have not made any bets yet. I don't think I'll be looking too far down the board though.
Yeah, great time to play those finishing markets. Maybe not so much for the outrights, but hey, you know who's always a winner? Kelly Bidlin, thanks so much for joining us. Have a good rest of your Saturday.
No problem. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Kelly.
All right, we are through the first hour of the show. Just chugging along here. Coming up on the other side, going back to the Diamond, getting you an update on some of these baseball scores. Take a peek in that Champions League game as well. This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN.